Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer. And I'm sure all the back-to-school sales alerts have alerted you to the fact that a new public school year is fast approaching in New York City, maybe already started in places where other listeners live. Right now, we're going to look at what the new school year might hold for special education students in New York City with Patrick Wall, who reports for the education website Chalkbeat New York. New York is behind the national curve when it comes to switching from separate special ed classrooms to classes that include kids of all abilities. Patrick Wall took a close look at how the change of policy is working out so far. Welcome to WNYC, Patrick.
Hi.
And teachers, parents, students, how is this inclusionary approach working in your classrooms? Call 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is there extra support? Is it working? Are there initial problems that are now being worked out? Are you noticing the changes in special ed policy in New York City schools and your family? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Patrick, can you briefly explain how special needs kids in New York City, what the change has been in policy?
Sure. A few years ago, the city decided that students with special needs, they needed to do a better job of integrating them into the general population because a lot of research has shown that they do much better behaviorally and academically when they're better integrated. And that also is federal law, too. So the new policy said that as much as possible, the experience of students with disabilities should be similar in school to that of students without. So they should be able to apply to their neighborhood school. They should be in classes alongside students without special needs as much as possible, and they should be learning the same material to the greatest extent possible.
So this is a change that started under the Bloomberg administration. You note that it's federal law. Why was New York City behind, and are we now caught up?
Right. I think it's long been recognized that there was this really glaring need. And in fact, that even continues today. Just last week, the new state test scores came out, and they showed that in the city, almost 30% of all students passed the state math test, but fewer than 9% of students with special needs passed. And then in English, it was more than 26% of all students, but fewer than 6% of students with special needs. So there's this big gap in proficiency and achievement of these students. So the idea was to better integrate them, to help them achieve better in school. So it's long been recognized as a need, but the policies have kind of been slow in coming. And they were piloted in some schools a few years ago and then rolled out citywide in 2012. So now they've been in effect a couple years.
And is New York City taking a similar approach as other urban school districts?
Yeah, I mean, this generally is the trend. And again, it's meant to comply with federal law, which calls for schools, for students with disabilities to be in the what's called the least restrictive environment. But that what that means is just as much as possible be in classes with students without disabilities. So this is the national trend, but it has taken the city a while to really implement it across all the schools.
Sam in Manhattan, are you a parent of a special needs child?
I am.
And what's been your experience with the change in policy in New York City schools?
Well, I would say in general, it's a good idea, and I welcome it. I think the rollout has been lacking at best. I think it's been uneven. Some schools have done a really good job, and others just need more support, both financial and training, and teachers with more experience in working with these types of students and their specific needs.
What has changed for your child's classroom experience?
Well, my child ended up having to go to a school that really works with the needs and learning differences that he has. So it's and unfortunately, the New York public school systems are not yet there in terms of supporting my child.
So your child is still in a separate environment than in an inclusionary classroom setting.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Sam. Patrick, this is something you heard from parents in your reporting. You talked to dozens of parents of special needs children in New York City. And what did you hear?
Very similar to what the caller just said, that schools, for the most part, by and large, I heard officials from the Department of Education say this, and it seems to be true. There's been a culture shift where there's a recognition that all schools should play a role in serving students with disabilities and not be turning students away. But when it comes to actually being able to serve those students, there's still a big gap in what they're able to do, and that can be because they don't have enough teachers there, or the teachers feel like they aren't trained well enough to be able to do that.
So walk me through a scenario. I'm a parent, and I want my child to go to a neighborhood school. My child has severe disabilities. If I call the neighborhood school and say, I want my child to go to this school now, what happens next?
So then they would have a meeting at the school, an evaluation meeting. In the past, they might have gone to an enrollment office who would handle that, but now they could go into their local school. And ideally what would happen is they would assess the student's needs and they would say, okay, here's what's available at the school. Here's how we can design a program that can meet that student's needs with what's available. So it's matching what is available, but it's also meeting all the needs of the student.
So it's still relying on the resources available at that particular school.
That's right. And there's a fine line between schools having kind of the ability to be creative in how they meet students' needs and kind of adjusting what is given to a student based on what they have. And that's what you hear sometimes from parents is saying that the school is really just they're using what's available, but it's not enough. They don't have a particular class or enough of the specialized services that student needs.
Angela in Queens, you are a special ed high school teacher?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. What's been your experience?
I've been teaching for about 12 years now, and high school, special ed, various grades, and various subject matters. These kids, the special education kids, they come with a variety of issues that need to be addressed. They are put into rooms full of kids, much bigger environments than they've been in before. It's very distracting for them, for the most part. And it's also a chance for them to, the integration I feel is detrimental to their ability to focus.
So you see, what used to be separate but specialized was smaller. Now with inclusion, it's a larger environment. And so that special attention, in your experience, you're seeing it decreased.
Yes. I also know that the schools, at least in our area, don't have enough personnel. And if we had smaller classes of integrated learning disabled and non-learning disabled, that would work. But the 35, 34 kids in the room with these kids who are not used to going from class to class and really can't handle the stimulus all the time, it's not doing them any favors.
Angela, thank you for your call. So, Patrick, in this transition period, what are schools doing to help students who are in completely different environments make that adjustment?
Well, that scenario that the teacher just described is very common. There's been a real push to move students into what are called integrated co-teaching classes, where it's a mix of students with and without disabilities and two teachers, one in general education, one in special education. And so the idea is that you mix the students together, that helps both groups of students, and there's extra support. But the problem, like the caller said, is that some students, they do need a smaller environment and more kind of individual attention, and they might be easily distracted. They might not be able to work independently as well. And so even though there's a lot of research on the benefits of inclusion, they find that it just isn't right for those particular students. So that has been a challenge. There's been a big increase in those kind of integrated classes, which has been great for a lot of students. But there are ones where it just isn't the right setting for them. They really could benefit from a more self-contained special ed class.
And when we say students, I want to make clear, you cite that this is nearly a fifth of all the students in New York City public schools. Their numbers outnumber the entire Dallas school district. This is a lot of children, a lot of students with a variety of needs.
That's right. Yeah, this is a huge group, and their needs really do range from behavior, emotional things, a lot of attention deficit disorder, to students that have Down syndrome that are in the community schools. The needs really do vary, and it's a big population of students.
Is there a school that you've seen where they've executed this in an ideal way, and has it required extra programs or extra resources to make it work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I feel like schools across the spectrum have had varying levels of success, you know, individual classrooms and things. But I profiled a school in the story that has a specialized program for students with autism, and it's a integrated class. There's a small group of high-functioning students with autism mixed with students without disabilities, and those classes are so popular. This is the school I was looking at was PS 112 in East Harlem. That class is so popular that students of or parents of students without disabilities are asking for their students to be placed in there. They feel like it's great. Every student is getting specialized attention. It really benefits them. So that's feel like is integration working well. I talked to a parent who has a son with Down syndrome who was able to get her son in a regular school, their community school, where his brother who doesn't have a disability attends, and she feels like that setting is really going to help him because it's going to push him, you know, to rise to that level. So I think that integration, really inclusion integration, is working for a lot of students.
And the objective in this major policy change in how special education students move through New York City schools is to raise graduation rates, right?
Right. That's the ultimate goal. It's not just that you kind of move students around and put them in different classes, but because of those changes, that's going to help them do better in school and eventually to graduate.
And what are the statistics now on that?
So, you know, right now, from the time of the reform when it started, 2012 to now, there haven't been a lot of big changes. There have been some small test score, kind of mixed results, some gains in the pilot schools, the initial ones. But school officials will tell you, the city officials, that, you know, it's still very early in the reform to see really clear examples of change. But, I mean, overall, though, there's still a big achievement gap. The graduation rate last year was about a little over 60% for all students. It was just over 30% for students with special needs. So there's still a big gap.
Mary in Washington Heights, you're another special education teacher?
Hi. I find your show very interesting. I've been teaching for quite a while. And I actually don't see the new policy working at all. In fact, I see many kids who are not having their IEPs met because the school doesn't have services available. And there's no oversight. Another thing that I've noticed with the integrated classrooms is that administration has a tendency to place students with behavior problems in those classrooms because of the support of the extra teacher, creating almost like a dumping ground syndrome. And I see very little DOE oversight to address this or to have any accountability.
Mary, thank you for your call. So she sees very little oversight from the Department of Education. What is the de Blasio administration's position on this change? Are they in line with where the Bloomberg administration was trying to move?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is one of the major policies of the last administration that is more or less being left intact and kind of moving forward under the new administration. The new chancellor, Carmen Farina, has said that she really supports inclusion. So she is really behind this. So it's more a matter, I think, the officials would see it as kind of improving and kind of tweaking things and trying to make it run more smoothly. But I think the new administration wants to keep pushing forward with this policy.
Did you hear that complaint that Mary was saying that she's noticing in some classrooms where when you have extra support for special education students that it creates a draw for other students with behavior problems?
Yeah, that's definitely something I heard, is that you kind of students who might be kind of on the fence between possibly needing special attention might have a disability or not, sometimes will be put there again because they think there's this extra support. But then that ends up kind of not being good for anybody in the class, because then those students don't get that extra attention. The students that do have special needs aren't getting it. So that is definitely something. And another thing I think that person that caller was mentioning was students not getting the services that are on their IEPs, which is their personal learning plans. That can be a matter of the school just not having the services available, or having to kind of, in some cases, almost adjusting what's on those plans to, again, to meet what they have available at the school rather than maybe what would be best for that student.
And what about the role of parents? Does this change in any way make it less of a burden on the parent to be a strong, independent advocate for their child? Or is it still kind of on the parent's shoulders to navigate their child through into a classroom setting that will work best for them?
I heard time and again from parents that, you know, even if they agree with the idea of the reform, they think it's a good policy, that they feel like they have to be an advocate all the time and that they have to stay on top of their school. And like the caller was saying, you know, kind of the sense of there might not be oversight or accountability. Parents definitely said that to me, that if they're not watching and saying, you know, is my student getting this many periods of pull out, you know, special education or whatever it is, that they're worried that they're not going to get it. So I think that parents definitely feel a need to really be advocates and on top of their students' learning still.
Patrick Wall is a reporter for Chalkbeat, giving us a progress report on a major change in special education policy in New York City schools. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll look at the Ice Bucket Challenge and what it says about charitable giving in 2014. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.